Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is considered by many to be the greatest athlete that has ever lived. He finished his star-studded career with an amazing and unbelievable performance. Time was winding down in the NBA championship game. The Chicago Bulls were down by one basket. The ball was passed to Jordan. Jordan made a fancy move to go around the defender. The defender was so bluffed that he fell to the floor. Jordan sets his sight on the basket, and he released just as the buzzer sounds, sinking a three-point shot, winning the game and the championship. For most of us, these are the kind of scenes that we remember. The slam dunk. Taken off from the free throw line. The fame, the popularity, the commercials, and championships. However, this evening, I would like to share with us, a story. One, we may not have heard. That involves, a young boy by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was a thin and extremely quiet boy. His mother and her boyfriend, they had tortured, abused, and starved Cornelius and his four-year-old brother. The police, they discovered the abuse in time to save Cornelius's life. But it had been too late to save his four-year-old brother. The two loves in Cornelius's life were reading and basketball. The newspaper reporter who had been writing about the tragedy, he mentioned in one of his articles, that Cornelius had a passion for basketball. Steve Scorwall, who was the vice president of the Chicago Bulls, he read the article, and he called the reporter. And although tickets to the Bulls game were without exception sold out, Scorwall said that if Cornelius would like to come to the game, he would be sure that there were special tickets available. The reporter, he took Cornelius to the game. Now, the following is the story, from the reporter's perspective. To every Chicago youngster who follows basketball, the stadium was a shrine. Think of where Cornelius was, locked up and tormented and hurt. And now he was in the stadium, about to see his first ball game in person. We walked down the stairwell until we were in the lower level hallway. Cornelius stood between us. Then the door opened and a man came out. Cornelius looked up. His eyes filled with a combination of wonder, awe, and total unbelief. Cornelius tried to say something, but his mouth was moving, but no words came out. He tried to speak, and then the man helped him out by speaking first. "Hi, Cornelius," the man said. "I'm Michael Jordan." Jordan knelt down, and he spoke quietly with Cornelius. He made small jokes. And he told some stories about basketball, and he didn't even rush. We have to understand, for a long time, the only adults Cornelius had any contact with were adults who wanted to hurt and humiliate him. And now, Michael Jordan was saying, "Are you going to cheer for us today? We sure gonna need it." Jordan went back into the locker room to finish dressing for the game. And Cornelius and I walked back upstairs to the court. There was one more surprise waiting for Cornelius. Cornelius was given a red shirt, the kind worn by the ball boys. He retrieved balls for the players from both teams as they warmed up. Then, the game was about to begin. Cornelius was led to Jordan's seat on the Bulls bench, for that's where he was going to sit, right next to Jordan's seat. Now, during the minutes of the game, when Jordan was out and resting, Cornelius, he would be sitting with him. When Jordan was on the court, Cornelius, he would be saving his seat for him. At one point late in the game, Cornelius took a pass. Took a pass. He sailed into the air. He slammed home the basket. And there, just a few feet away, was Cornelius Abraham, laughing out loud with joy. As we applaud the incredible basket, the act of kindness that Jordan showed Cornelius were receiving the applause of heaven. And you all, because of this, you all, let us accept as a title of our message this evening, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. Once again, you all, the title of our message is, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Our passage this evening, you all, will be coming from Mark, the 25th chapter. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 40. And it reads as follows. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goat he shall set on his left. Then shall the king say unto those on the right, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee? Or when saw we thee, Lord, a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee, Lord, sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto you, Insomuch as you have done it to the least of these my brothers and sisters, you have done it also unto me. You see, your greatness in the kingdom of heaven, it is measured you all by the small acts of kindness. Now, you all in countryside, your sheep and goat, you all, they mingle during the daytime. However, you all at night, they're often separated. You see, sheep, you all, they can tolerate cool air, while the goats, you all, they have to be herded together in order to obtain warmth. In spruce grazing areas, you all, the animals, they sometimes are separated during the day as well. But here, y'all, we find Jesus, y'all. He's taken this common activity of a shepherd and applying deep symbolism to it. Now, as is typical of Jesus' poetry, y'all, we're not, y'all, seeing any type of gray areas here. In other words, y'all, this picture is painted sharply in black and white. In other words, y'all, all men fall into one or two categories. Y'all, we are either sheep or goat. The sheep, you all, identified as the righteous, and they are given the right hand, which was placed in the power of honor. Now, of course, you all, it's not easy or hard really to tell the difference between sheep and goat. But, you all, when it comes, you all, the people, at the end of time, I mean, how is it distinct made? Is there ways, you all, for us to understand the difference, how God looks at it? Well, y'all, here we find that the righteous, y'all, they provided others with simple acts of kindness. Now, notice the simple response. Y'all, Jesus, he tells us about the actions of the righteous. Y'all, he says it's giving y'all somebody something to drink, or something to eat, or clothes to wear, or even just a visit. Y'all, these are simple and basic things. I know there are no rewards. There are no plaques. There is no prestige. No, nobody's going to lift us up, y'all, to obtain these accolades and give us this wonderful return of joy. But your God's followers, y'all, they're not identified by saying, Lordy, Lordy. Y'all, they're not identified, y'all, by repeating verbal expressions of their faith. Y'all, they are known by their numerous acts of self-sacrificing service that they do for their fellow man. In 1921, Louis Laws, he became the warden of Sing Sing Prison. No prison was tougher than Sing Sing during those times. But when Warden Laws retired some 20 years later, that prison had become a humanitarian institution. Those who studied the system said, for the change belonged to the Laws. But when he was asked about the transformation, here's what he said. He said, I owe it all to my wonderful wife, Kathleen, who was buried just outside the prison walls. You see, your Kathleen Laws, you know, she was a young mother, you know, who had three small children. When her husband became the warden, you know, everybody warned her, you know, from the very beginning, that she, or she should never, ever set foot inside the prison walls. But that didn't stop Kathleen. You know, when the first prison basketball game was held, she went. And she sat in the stands, y'all, with the inmates. Her attitude was, my husband and I are going to take care of these men. And I believe that they will take care of me. I don't have to worry. Now, y'all, of course, y'all, Kathleen, she insisted on getting to acquainted with these men and also their records. Oh, she discovered one convicted murderer who was blind, and she paid him a visit. Holding his hands in hers, she said, do you read Braille? What's Braille? The inmate asked. Then she taught him how to read. Years later, yo, he would weep in love for her. Kathleen, yo, she learned, yo, how to use sign language for a deaf mute in prison. Yo, Kathleen Laws was said to be the body of Jesus that came alive again in Sing Sing Prison from 1921 to 1937. And then she was killed in a car accident. You all, the next morning, Louis Laws, he didn't come to work that day. So yo, he is his assistant, he took over the place. You all, it seemed almost immediate that the entire prison knew that something was wrong. Well, the following day, her body was resting in a casket in her home. You know, as the acting warden took his walk that morning, well, he was shocked, y'all, to see a large crowd of the toughest, the hardest looking criminals gathered, y'all, like a herd of animals at the main gate. Well, the warden, he came a little closer, and he noticed tears, y'all, of grief and sadness. He knew how much they loved Kathleen. He turned and he faced the men. And he said, all right, men, you can go. Just be sure to check in tonight. Then he opened the gate, and you're a parade of criminals. They walk without guards, 3/4 of a mile, to stand in line to pay their final respects to Kathleen Laws. And every one of them checked back in. I mean, every single one. Now, you all, of course, you're the second way that the righteous will be identified. Is that they use their resources to be a blessing to others. You know, as an unusual part of this judgment scene, we find, y'all, that those on the left, y'all, they excuse themselves with the excuse that they didn't have the opportunity. Or they ask, y'all, in a tone of injured innocence. They said, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? That's verse 44. This question is asked, in a more aggravated manner. A manner, that is completely different from when the righteous ask and who were disclaiming, the credits given them. Now notice Jesus' response here. Jesus said, I assure you, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. Verse 45. The previous parable of the twin versions of the entrusted wealth. You remember that story, when the versions, half of them were ready and half of them were not. Those that were ready were able to enter the kingdom with the king, and the other half, unfortunately could not enter. Well, the same is true, in this judgment scene. You see, it's not so much, the wrongdoing that evokes the severest consequences, but, it's the complete failure to do good. Just as the door is shut, on the foolish versions for their negligence. So those on the left, they have gotten lost. They're lost, for failing to notice, the many opportunities for showing kindness which had been given them. Now, I'm reminding you all of an abundant harvest that tells us this story in the Bible. This one man, he was a rich man. And he did have an abundance harvest. However, this brother, he couldn't find any place to put all of this revenue that was coming in. You see, his barns, y'all, they were already full. So what he said is that, you know what I would do? I'm going to just tear down these old barns, and I'm going to build me bigger barns. Well, your God's response to the attitude of this brother, we find it in Luke, the 12th chapter, 21st verse. Y'all, the Lord said, but God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get all of your possessions? Yes, my brothers and sisters, you're a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth and not have a rich relationship with God. Your God blesses each one of us so that we can be a blessing to others. You know, if we squander or hoard these blessings for ourselves, you know, they will eventually be taken from us. So then, you know, how do we become rich in the eyes of God? We do it, you know, by passing and sharing these blessings with others. You know, we'll find, you know, that if we look back on life, that you are the moments that stands out the most. You know, are the ones, you know, where we were doing things to bless others. You know, we focus on self and our own problems and frustrations too much. Well, our spiritual energy is depleted. But when we serve others, you are in Christ-like ways. You know, we can light a spark in our own spiritual lives. And now, finally, the third way the righteous are identified is that you are the righteous, you are there surprised by the significance of their actions. You see, you are neither the sheep nor the goat are surprised at the place that the king assigns them. But you know, they are surprised at the reason in which the king gives. Now, as we conclude, you know, we find, you know, that the punchline is in verse number 20. Jesus says, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it also to me. You know, the scripture of the righteous, you all, at this point, it makes it impossible, you all, to think that righteousness wins salvation. You know, how they treated the least of these. You know, it was not for the purpose of being accepted or rejected by the king. You know, the sheep, you know, they did not show love to gain heaven. You know, Jesus is interested here, you know, in the righteousness of the whole person. A righteousness, you know, that comes from the heart. You know, true disciples, you know, we will love one another and we will serve one another like brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we do that, you all, we are unconsciously serving Christ. Those, you all, who have little sympathy for the gospel of the kingdom, you know, they remain indifferent. And in doing so, they reject Christ. Paul, you all, he learned this on his conversion as he traveled to Damascus to persecute and destroy Christians. He encountered Christ. The voice from heaven declared, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. You know, when we respond to others, you know, we're responding to Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said it very well in his book entitled, The Cost of Discipleship. He said, the bearers of Jesus' word receive a final word of promise for their work. They are now Christ's fellow workers and will be like him in all things. Thus, they are bearers of his presence. They bring with them the most precious gift in the world, the gift of Jesus Christ. You know, we are to be Christ bearers before others, in our homes, in our church, at work, in our own personal relationships. You know, what would it be like, you know, if every day, you know, we were always conscious of this truth and then did our best to put it into practice? You know, we are Jesus' ambassadors to others. Here on this earth, you know, we are his hands. You know, we are his feet. And we are to be a blessing, you know, to those who are in need of such charity. You know, it is my hope. It is my desire. It is my prayer and my most sincere petition that God, you know, will place in all of our hearts, you know, the compassion and the desire to serve others. Why? Well, because we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. So as we go, let us go, you all, and serve. And as we serve, may God bless you. May God keep you, is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.